If there is a movie for our epic, if there is a movie that most reliably comes up in conversation over and over and over again, it's that great classic Groundhog Day. In Groundhog Day, a smug, cynical weatherman finds himself condemned to relive one February 2nd over and over and over again in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. He explains his feelings to two bleary-eyed beer-drinking locals, saying, "What would you do if you were stuck in one place and everything was exactly the same and nothing you did mattered?" The two strangers looked at him sympathetically. They didn't have to be trapped in a magic spell to know what he means. Groundhog Day is about the way time is to us. Today, Paul writes to the church in Rome about time. Paul writes to a waiting church. It's been perhaps four decades or so since Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead when Paul wrote the letter, which was read this morning. The days right after the resurrection must have been exciting. The risen Christ appearing here and there, miraculously intruding. But with time, the excitement may have cooled somewhat. Many Christians thought that when Jesus said, "I'm coming again for you," he meant he was coming in a few days, maybe a few months, perhaps a year. But now many years had passed and Jesus hadn't turned up. Paul writes to the church reminding them that God doesn't do time the way we do time. Your salvation is nearer to you than when you first believed, he writes to them. It doesn't take one long when you become a Christian to realize that the church doesn't keep time the way the world keeps time. We live much of our lives under the world's calendar, in which today is December 1st, the end of the year. The church invites us to step into a new calendar, a different calendar, where this Sunday is the beginning of a new year, the first Sunday in Advent. The church changes our worldview, our sense of what's going on in the world, by changing our time. Have you ever noticed the particular tendency of gospel stories to locate themselves in a particular geography? They constantly mention place names, specific locations that you've never heard of and are not likely to hear of again anywhere other than church. The incarnation, God coming among us as Jesus of Nazareth, is thereby demonstrated through Judea and Bethlehem and Galilee. And this is typical of a God who locates. But this Sunday, I want you to note how the Gospels also take pains to state that Jesus not only occurs in a certain place, but also in time. Think of how often the gospel writers say things like, "the next day," "it was about the third hour," "immediately," "on the Sabbath," "it was night." I believe this is the Bible's way of saying that in Jesus Christ, God takes time. God takes our time. From the Jews, Christians got the notion that time begins and ends in God's good time. Christians claim that God became flesh, entered time, and died. And then God raised Jesus from the dead and broke time's iron sovereignty and disarmed Kronos, the Greek god of time. That victory is known as the resurrection, old time's defeat. In the resurrection, our comfortable normality was exposed, and time ceased to be what humans made of it. And time became what God makes of it. In the resurrection, God gives us human beings something we could have never had through our own efforts, a beyond. And yet, What was the first act of the two apostles after they witnessed the aftermath of the resurrection? They went back home. They attempted to get back to normal. Whenever the culture's official, predictable, accustomed time is disrupted, immediately we move into time and try and get back to normal. Time disrupted and eventful is Jesus' time. Time under the illusion of normalcy and eternality is the world's time. Homeostasis, that is, static time, uneventful time, well, that's our goal. That's the goal of every human underbeing, every human being, including the church. We want things to be predictable and tied down and fixed. And against our daily accommodation to the world's time in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, time is disarmed. Time is taken by God. We thought we had time. That is, we were managing time, taking time for our own needs. Then time got commandeered by God. It is of the nature of the Trinity to disrupt time. Time in the gospel seems compressed, heated, fast-paced. That's true in this morning's gospel in Matthew, but nowhere is it clearer in Mark, whose favorite chronological word is immediately, euthys. It took Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ, to belabor what Mark does in less than 5 minutes. One of the reasons we read the Gospels in church is to read ourselves into a particularly heated gospel time. God is taking our time here and making it into God's time. In exile, with no future, God had her end renamed as her beginning. Do not remember the former things. I'm about to do new things, the prophet Isaiah says. You see, God's taking back time. It's tempting to believe that the present social order is more real, more normal, more eternal than the reign of God. One of the things that the modern world did in order to get going was to banish God from time. That is, many modern views of God render God into a detached, serene, distant deity who is said to care about us, but never actually shows up anywhere, never actually does anything, never actually intrudes in our time. I suppose we get this sort of God because we wanted in the modern world to have time to be our own, time to be sealed off, safe from periodic intrusions and disruptions of God. It's not the nature of the miraculous to seem to be, excuse me, it is not the nature of the miraculous to seem to be a shocking disruption of the orderly, predictable flow of things. Is that why many modern people are so perturbed by miracles that are reported in Scripture? We're disturbed that our time might not be our own. In Advent, we focus upon prepare for and explore the significance of a God who not only loves us, but shows up among us as one of us, as Jesus Christ. In other words, Advent is a time when God disrupts our time and takes over. When Jesus Christ was born among us in Bethlehem, we realized that something was afoot that was considerably beyond our conceptions of what can and can't be. We realized that we were not alone, not left on our own as much as we may have thought. God is with us. God is in our time, Emmanuel. So, perhaps Advent is a yearly reminder that at any moment, your time could become God's time. The time that you thought you were on your own to live as you please is in reality God's. Perhaps then that's one reason why we come to church on Sunday. Here in worship, our sense of God's presence becomes particularly vivid and undeniable. Perhaps worship here on Sunday is a precursor, a preparation for God's becoming particularly real and vivid to you on Sunday morning. This is the difference between waking up and saying, what have I got to do today? And waking up in the morning and say, what is God going to do today? Or as that great theologian Stephen Sondheim wrote about a love struggling to be born, there is a time for us, someday a time for us, time together with time to spare, time to look, time to care. Someday, somewhere, we'll find a new way of living, we'll find a way of forgiving somewhere. Here we are, thinking we're going along through another humdrum, dull day, and then Jesus shows up, and our time is transformed. I remember a parishioner had a particularly risky open-heart procedure. The doctor told him he had no more than a 50-50 chance of surviving during the surgery. But he did survive. When I visited him afterwards, I said, you survived. Isn't that great? He said, no, Andrew, I didn't just survive. I did more than survive. It was like I was born again. I'm not the same person I've been for the past 50 years. It's like God has reached into my life and through this illness made me somebody better than I would have been without it. I've been given a second chance, and I'm going to be different. I'm going to be better than I was before. Once again, God in Christ had made an advent into a life, and by showing up, intruding into time, transformed time. In Advent, we sing hymns like, O come, Emmanuel. And what do we do when that prayer is answered? And God comes and God shows up and God makes our time into God's time. So here is my Advent word to you, and I hope it's heard as a word of good news. God has a way of taking time from you, and taking time for you. In your life, it's not just the same darn thing over and over again, because time is not left up to you. In my youth, that great band Chicago used to sing, does anybody really know what time it is? Well, you people of faith know. It's Advent, and Advent reminds us that our time can begin and our time can end. In Advent, we know that time can be disrupted and transformed because it is not left up to us. God takes time. Emmanuel. Amen.